1 Samuel chapter 21, reading from verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. He's actually the high priest, I think. To Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is, in a manner, common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behaviour before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrambled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. David, we have been reading about and thinking about for a number of weeks now. David was on the run. He was being pursued by Saul, who wanted to kill him, though he was Saul's son-in-law. He had been delivered out of the hand of Saul by Michal, Saul's daughter and David's own wife. And he had been warned by his beloved friend Jonathan, who was Saul's son. So the family of Saul, to some extent at least, cared for David. But Saul himself, the king, wanted David dead. And David was an outcast in his own country. He was a fugitive in and from his own land. However, in all of this time of fear, of anxiety, of uncertainty, of loneliness, of exclusion, David trusted the Lord. And this will be the main lesson from today's study. It may seem fairly simple to say that, but I think we will learn some things from this chapter, and it will be good for us to remind ourselves that David trusted the Lord. We're going to see, for example, how hard it can be to trust the Lord. Because David's faith did not mean that he did everything properly, that he did everything right. The fact that David trusted the Lord didn't mean that he acted at all times as he should have done. The fact that David trusted the Lord doesn't mean that he was always at peace in his own soul or that he was never afraid. David, we will discover in this chapter, acted sinfully. We will discover that he feared greatly. We will find that he often found himself thoroughly distressed and at his wits' end, having to flee from Saul and flee to the Lord, his Saviour, for help and for guidance and for strength. And yet, what a blessing it is to be able to do so. I do sometimes think about all these people who don't have any faith, all these people who do not know anything of the Lord. Where do they find their comfort? Where do they find their help? I know how blessed I feel so often to be able to take my troubles to the Lord and to remind myself that the Lord cares for me, that the Lord is ready and present to help. And David knew this. It didn't take away all his troubles or his anxieties. It didn't make him perfect before the Lord. But David knew the Lord and he trusted him. I hope you do too. I hope you know the Lord. And I hope you know what it is to trust him in times of need. You will not always have peace. You will not always be brave. You'll often do what you should not do. But if you can trust the Lord and commit your life into his hands, you will be blessed in this life and you will be blessed for all eternity, despite your own unbelief and your own failures. David could say in Psalm 56 in verse 3 and 4, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Let me put it like this. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. He goes on, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And that's particularly relevant, that little verse, because that little verse was written and spoken by David. It was prayed by David at exactly this time in his life, when he was before Ahimelech and also Achish, or Achish has another name as well in scripture. He is sometimes called Abimelech. So here we have David in this chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, meeting with Ahimelech and Abimelech in just a few verses. We've got two incidents here, two incidents in this short chapter. David going to see Ahimelech, who was the priest, or as I've mentioned, I think the high priest at Nob, where the tabernacle was. And also David going to Gath, of all places. Now, where have we heard of Gath before? Gath was the city of his enemies, the Philistines. It was one of the five main city-states of the Philistines. And in fact, it was the very city where Goliath had come from. Goliath, whom David had killed not so very long before. And we might wonder what on earth David was doing going to the city of Gath. But more of that later. The first thing I want to mention is that David went to the tabernacle. He went to speak to Ahimelech. He went to speak with the Lord. And that is the first place that David went. He was on the run. He was fleeing from Saul. He was recently speaking with Jonathan. Jonathan had told him that he needed to escape. He needed to get out of the area. And this is what David immediately did. He went to where the tabernacle was in order to speak to the Lord. I like this. David was fleeing from Saul. But before he ran away, who knew where and who knew for how long he would be away? He went to speak with the Lord at the tabernacle in Nob. And the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Before everything else, above everything else. And I know that you've got busy lives. I know that there's lots of things that you have to do, you're required to do, especially when we're younger. We've got people telling us that we've got so much to do. And I know that you've got busy lives. But you know what the Lord says? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all these other things, everything else that we need, everything else that has to be done, all the other places that have to be gone to, all the people that we have to see, they shall be added unto you appropriately. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And David's priorities were right. What am I to do? The first thing is I will go and ask the Lord for help and guidance. And that's exactly what he did. But here we find a problem. Because when David went to the tabernacle, Ahimelech was afraid to meet him. Ahimelech realized that there was something wrong in this situation. He knew that David was on the run. Very probably, Doeg the Edomite was present there in this city of Nob. And Doeg was one of Saul's senior servants. He may even have been dispatched there in order to be on the lookout for David. And in the midst of all the nervousness, David anxious about what's happening, this man Doeg in the city, Ahimelech not knowing what was going on. In the midst of all this nervousness, instead of being honest, David made up a story and told Ahimelech a lie about why he was there. And it was a lie that he would later regret very much. Because this was going to be a very costly encounter that he had with the priests there at Nob. And let me say that I'm kind of jumping forward a little bit, but we learn about this in the next chapter. That man, Doeg the Edomite, he went back to Saul and he told Saul that he had seen David at Nob. And Ahimelech and 85 priests and hundreds of the people in that city, men, women and children, were shortly put to death by Saul for helping David on this occasion. That is how serious the situation was. And David had told this lie to Ahimelech. Some people would say David's lie proved that he didn't trust the Lord. Despite being at the tabernacle to seek the Lord's help, he nevertheless told a lie because he was afraid and because he was anxious and concerned. But I think that there's another way to think about this. I think that what this shows us is just how complex faith really is, and just how weak our own hearts are. Do you know what an enigma is? An enigma is a puzzle. And sometimes we are an enigma, a puzzle to ourselves. We do trust the Lord, if indeed we have found him to be our Lord and Saviour, if we trust him for our salvation, we trust him for forgiveness of sin, we trust him for eternal life, we trust him for all the big things in life. But when it comes to trusting him for the little things, we just cannot seem to do it. We insist on trying to fix our troubles by ourselves. And we do things that we shouldn't do. Look what David did. He made up a story to try and explain what it was he was doing. And we think we're being very clever. But what we're really doing is we're really showing that we don't trust the Lord as we like to think we do. And this is our enigma. Every true believer finds that while we do trust the Lord, we nevertheless spend our whole lives learning to trust him. Because all too often, we don't trust him at all. How do I explain that? That's the puzzle. We love the Lord, but we don't love him as we should. We serve the Lord, but we don't serve him as we should. We trust the Lord, but we don't trust him as we should. And we spend our whole lives having to learn to love him and to serve him and to trust him. And that is the experience of every child of God. David asked for food from Ahimelech, but there was only a few showbread available. Now, maybe you remember, it's a long time ago, so maybe you don't, but we've spoken about the showbread before. The showbread was from the time of Moses, from the time of the establishment of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And these 12 loaves were put before the Lord on a golden table in the presence of the Lord before the Lord in the first part of the tabernacle. And they were put there beside the candlesticks and the laver and the altar. They were put there in order to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And these were sanctified, these were hallowed, these had been dedicated to the Lord, and they were for no one to eat except the priests. The priests could eat them after they had sat before the Lord for a period of time and before they were replaced. And it was this replacement that was taking place today when David arrived with Ahimelech. And David took those loaves. It would appear that he asked for a certain number, 5 loaves. David took those and he ate them because he and his friends were starving. So that the bread saved David's life. It nourished and sustained him as he fled from before Saul. Actually, as we've just said, the showbread in the tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And it represented Christ, the bread of life, being placed before God to picture Christ's death for his people. By eating this bread, David was pointing to Christ. His Saviour was still to come. But David, nevertheless, by taking this showbread, pointed us once again to Christ. David knew what this bread was about, and yet he took it and he ate it. And just as we share communion today as the Lord's people, well, not today, but as we do occasionally, as we share communion as the Lord's people, we remember what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered to make us right with God. That was what David was doing, and that's what we do. And David also asked for a weapon, and we discovered that Ahimelech gave him Goliath's sword, the very sword that he had used to cut off the giant's head. And then we're told that David makes his next journey, and that is to Gath, the home city of Goliath. And David's sworn enemies. What a strange thing to do. Now, we're not told the precise circumstances or David's reasoning for making his way to the land of the Philistines or to the city of Gath. Perhaps it was that he felt as safe in the land of the Philistines as he did in Israel, where he was being hunted by Saul. Perhaps he thought, well, if I can live with a degree of secrecy in the land of the Philistines, then Saul isn't going to be able to come and get me. Perhaps seeing Doeg the Edomite there at Nob, he knew that Saul would pursue him right to the border of the land of the Philistines. Maybe he got close to the border and he was detained and taken to Gath as some kind of prize. Whatever the reason was that David found himself in the presence of Achish, or Abimelech as he's sometimes called, just in the same way as the Egyptian kings were called Pharaoh and the Roman kings were called Caesar, so the Philistine kings were all called Abimelech. And this man is called Achish of Gath, or somewhere else he's called Abimelech. But David realized that he was in danger of being killed there by this Achish. And so he pretended to be mad, hoping that in some way this might deflect the possibility of at least Achish's or Abimelech's servants trying to have him put to death. Achish may have thought there was no point in killing David because all he would be doing would be killing Saul's enemy, even if it was David. By killing David, Achish perhaps thought he'd simply help Saul, who was spending all his time chasing all over the country looking for David. If it got out that David was now dead, then Saul could use that as a pretext to attack the Philistines again. Maybe it was in Achish's interest that David was kept alive. And David feigned this madness, perhaps to let this Achish think that David was no longer a threat to him. Perhaps Achish even realised that David's being alive as the king of Israel, if he understood that that had happened, which appears now to be common knowledge, that David being alive as Israel's king was better for him than trying to kill the Lord's anointed. Whatever the reason, the king did not slay David, who escaped and returned to Israel and hid in a cave near Adullam. Here's the final point that I want to make today. David was completely surrounded by enemies. He had Saul on one side, he had Achish and the Philistines on the other. He had no one to help him but the Lord. And so David trusted the Lord. And here's the enigma again. Despite the lies, despite the pretended madness, despite the fact that he slevered down his beard, David trusted the Lord. And in fact, we've got several Psalms that were written by David precisely at this time, showing that despite all the trouble, David was settled and composed in his own heart as to the faithfulness of God. David wrote Psalm 34 and Psalm 56 at this time, and both show this young man's true spiritual faith in the Lord his God. I quoted from Psalm 56 a little earlier. Let me quote a few verses from Psalm 34 and then we're done today. This is what David said in Psalm 34 verse 6. He said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." That is, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord teach us and enable us to trust in Christ, both for our personal salvation and our hope of eternal life. But may he also teach us day by day to place our trust in Christ for every need and every care and every provision. Amen.